At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warm up from Evo! Welcome to Lovely Las Vegas for Jessica Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now a part of the Beasts Family Podcast, and we got a great podcast for you. As here in the first segment, I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of a recap as to news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Monday. Typically, this is where I recap all that we saw on the hardwood the previous day. Well, we did not have any games on Monday, so there's no way to recap games that did not happen, but we certainly saw some coaching moves. We saw a lot happen in the transfer portal as well, so we're going to be going through that here in segment number one. In segment number two, we're going to be talking with Blake Lovell. He does great work over at Southeastern 14, and on top of that, he does an amazing job over at Blue Ribbon Yearbook, taking a look at the entire landscape of college basketball. So we're going to be chatting with him about how crazy this tournament has been, take a look at the Final Four, and we get some time as well. We'll touch upon the two NIT games that are going to be coming up for this College Basketball Tuesday. And then in the final segment, I will be giving you guys picks and analysis on both of those NIT Final Four games as we hit some bank shots. If you're looking for my handicap of the two games that we are going to be getting in the Final Four, I did those on the podcast yesterday. I will be doing that once again prior to the game on Saturday as well. So we've got you guys covered on both fronts. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at JNN_41. Keep in mind, letter CM. I mean, does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. As I had mentioned, we did not have any games yesterday, but we did see a lot happening in college basketball. So going to give you guys a little bit of a recap of that. The big coaching move that we saw on Monday was, I think, Rodney Terry, who was given the interim tag over at Texas with everything that happened with the Chris Beard ordeal. He is now going to be given the full-time coaching job, which, if you're like me, you're probably feeling a little bit salty about what happened with Texas on Sunday, but he legitimately did an amazing job. He's done a good job as a coach in the past as well. Was the former coach of UTEP along with Fresno State, so I personally do think that this is very well deserved. He gets a 5-year deal, so you feel very good about him. Justin Wright, he is going to be looking to be Mr. Wright for Loyola Marymount. He has decided that that is going to be his next stop, as we did see a lot of player moves that happened on Monday. He goes to Loyola Marymount after last year in the MEAC. He was a 2-time All-MEAC performer. He averaged 16 points, 5 boards from 3-point range, shot right around 41%. He was able to chip in there 1.3 steals per game as well. Loyola Marymount has been looking to kick up their tempo quite a bit. He should be able to help them out with a defense that, let's call it what it is, it did have a few question marks, so he should be able to give them a little bit of a boost, and I do think that he's going to be an impact guy. Jalen House has decided that he is going to be back at New Mexico this next season. Spent 2 years at Arizona State. He was with New Mexico each of the last 2 years, and you could tell that the team just was not playing the same defense after he got injured. He did return from that injury after a few games, but that defensive effort that was there towards the beginning part of the season with New Mexico, which I'm not saying it was great at any point, but I mean, there was at the very least a modicum of defense at the beginning part of the year. At the end part of the year, there was none whatsoever, but I do think that he's going to be able to continue to elevate as last year. 16.9 points, 2.7 steals, that was a top 10 mark in all of college basketball. Shot 37.5% from 3-point range, and New Mexico was the last undefeated team in all of college basketball last season. I do think that he's going to make a big impact out there in the Mountain West. They have a Final Four team. That doesn't mean that the Mountain West was good this year, but they do have a Final Four team. TJ Bamba, he is going to be testing the NBA draft waters. He is maintaining his eligibility, but he's going to be seeing what is all out there. He was at Washington State this last year and really elevated his game. Every 7.7 points per game last year. This year, 15.8 points per contest on right around 37.5% three-point shooting, so he was able to do a nice job of elevating there. The ship of North Carolina, it is very, very empty right now. Armand Dabakut is coming back, but we're seeing a lot of guys entering into the transfer portal. Latest one is their leading scorer, Caleb Love, who, I mean, it was a lovely amount of points that he was able to put up per game with 16.7, but shot 29.9% from three-point range. North Carolina, they actually didn't play the world's worst defense at the end part of the season, but man, that was just a blend that was not working, to say the least. So we shall see what happens on that front. Also in the ACC, Caden Shadrick, he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. He was at Virginia last year. I know that there's been a little bit of shade thrown at Shadrick, a former top 100 recruit, but honestly, I thought that he played relatively okay. 6 points, right around 4 boards. He was able to give the team a block and a half per contest this past season, so we're going to be seeing where he goes in the transfer portal. We've also got another guy that has decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft, but he's going to be maintaining his eligibility, which this guy has been on that NBA draft list before. Landers Nolley, I still remember when he was over there at Virginia Tech like 3 years ago, he was already entering in to the NBA draft. He's becoming the Van Wilder of college basketball. Had a very good year at Cincinnati this last year. 16.8 points, 2.5 assists, a steal, nearly 6 boards. Shot 41.5% from 3-point range as a 6'7". Little bit of a combo player, so we're going to see what happens there, and I fully expect there to be a lot of these announcements coming in future days. And then we did see with North Carolina, because I mentioned the fact that Caleb Love is on the transfer portal, RJ Davis already declared as well, but they are getting someone in, a smart kid, Paxson Wojcik. He was playing at Brown this last year. What was he able to do for Brown? Well, he was able to register 14.9 points, 7.2 boards, shot 38% from threes, a 6'4" combo player for a Brown team that was in the top 100 nationally in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. So I do think that that is going to be a very big pickup for them. Lusan Hullums, who was one of the top scorers over at South Carolina State this last season, as we saw quite a few prolific MEAC scorers enter into the transfer portal on Monday. He became the latest of them. He was actually relatively solid for a South Carolina State team that was not necessarily too solid this last season. Right around 10.5 points, 2 assists, shot 40% from 3-point range. So we'll see where his next landing spot is. Not necessarily a guy with a ton of size, right around 6'2", but I did like what he was able to bring to the table for the team last season. Georgetown is going to be going through some transition. As we know, they hire on the coach that they were looking for, Ed Cooley, and Brandon Murray's not going to be a part of the program this next season. Began his career at LSU, and last year at Georgetown, put up some nice numbers. 13.5 points, shot about 32% from 3-point range, 3 assists, 2.5 per contest. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal, so we will see where his next stop is going to be. Keyshawn Kelman, he was a big part of the Princeton team that was able to make the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, and now we're seeing more and more of these guys that we saw in the NCAA tournament decide that they are going to be entering into their portal, letting things marinate just a little bit. But Kelman, 8 points, 4.5 rebounds per game this last season, is in the transfer portal. But that really doesn't tell the full story with Kelman, in my opinion, because you did see some limited minutes towards the beginning part of the season. If you take a look from January 6th on, so essentially when conference play began, he was able to do a very solid job of being able to give the team closer to 5 or so rebounds per contest. He did a great job down low during the NCAA tournament, so we shall see where he ends up. This was a big move, and Dennis Gates just continues to dominate in the transfer portal. Jonton Jay, who was playing at Colorado State this last season, a 6'5 combo player that supplied 14.5 points, 4.7 boards, shot 39% from 3-point range, over 80% the free throw line. He's heading to Missouri, playing for a Colorado State team that didn't necessarily play a lot of defense. So, I mean, that is keeping up with the trend that we are seeing with this Missouri team right now. But no doubt about it, a very rock-solid scorer, someone that's able to light it up from 3-point range, has a bit of size. So that is going going to be a nice addition for Dennis Gates, and I'm sure that he's going to fit in that system very well. This man has been in college basketball since the 2018-19 season. DeShang Weaver, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Spent 5 years at Oral Roberts. One of those was a redshirt year, coming off of averaging about 6.5 points per game this last season. Shot 42.5% from three-point range as a 6'8", little bit of a combo player. Not an overwhelming guy, but certainly can be a depth piece on a lot of good teams. I think this man is going to be able to do quite a bit down low wherever he goes as well. Keegan Records, he was able to record 13 points and 6 boards over at Colgate last season. He is into the transfer portal as well. 1.3 blocks per contest, has a nice frame, and was a part of a winning culture. So I think that that is going to be of note. And then we're seeing quite a few guys that they were some of the top scorers for their respective programs, and they were able to light it up at a little bit of a lower level of competition. They're seeing what's out there. Someone like a Jonathan Massey, who was over at McNeese State this last year, he was a solid player. He gave the team 10.5 points, 4.5 boards, 2.5 assists, 1.3 steals as a 6'5", little bit of a do-it-all player. He is now in the transfer portal. Anthony Crump, he is looking to get Crump in the transfer portal, as he last season at Northern Illinois was able to supply 7.5 points, 5 boards per contest. Feels like this guy has been in college basketball for forever, by the way, but he has decided that he is going to be testing out those waters. We also saw Xavier Wheeler, who, I mean, that was a turbulent year at Kentucky. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal, won the top players in terms of assists per game the last few seasons of college basketball, got a little bit banged up with Kentucky, but you can tell that that blend just was not there. Last year at Kentucky, the 2021-22 season, he was able to put up 10 points. He doled out 7 assists to right around 3 turnovers per game. This year, he did give out 5.5 assists per contest, but he fell completely out of favor with everything that they were doing towards the back half of the season. He got injured, so it is going to be very interesting to see who decides that they are going to be rolling the dice on him. This is going to be nice for an interstate transfer, as Michael Shanks, he last year was playing at Belmont. He has decided that he is going to be going to Tennessee State, a relatively sparingly used guy at Belmont. I remember he had a little bit of promise coming out of high school, 6'6", a little bit of a combo player, so that is one that's a little bit off the beaten path. And then we're going to be noticing a lot of guys that might have been relatively highly touted recruits that just didn't see a lot of playing time, if any at all, decide to enter in the transfer portal, like Isaac Tradut. He was playing over at Virginia this last season. He did not see any playing time whatsoever, but most publications had him as a top 75 recruit. He has decided that he is going to be entering the transfer portal. These are the out-of-sight, out-of-mind guys that I often think can be the treasures of the transfer portal. Khalil Ware, he was a top 10 recruit, and he just did not deliver for Oregon this past season. He was only able to give the team 6.5 points, 4 boards, 1.3 blocks, shot threes, but shot them at a 27% rate. It's been less than savory for Oregon last few seasons, and he has decided that he is going to be entering the transfer portal. We're also seeing a Northern Illinois to Akron sort of pipeline developing. We saw a few guys from Northern Illinois head over to Akron, most notably Trendon Hankerson, and now that is continuing as Caleb Thornton has decided that he is going to be going from Northern Illinois over to Akron, so he is staying within the MAC. This past season was able to do a nice job of doling out the ball. 5.3 assists, 9 points per game for a Northern Illinois team that was more respectable on offense. Shot 36.5% from 3-point range. It's an Akron team that likes to play relatively slow and grimy, so I think that he's going to be a good fit for them. No tooting about Dominic Bruton. He is going to be entering into the transfer portal. An all-swag performer, came in off the bench and was able to give Alcorn State, a team that has been relatively good against the spread last few seasons, 12 points and a steal per contest. One of those holes greater than some of its parts guys for that team. So I'm very fascinated to see what happens. And this guy was a relatively highly touted recruit for this past season as well. Just didn't see a lot of minutes for Nevada. Trey Pettigrew, only about 3.5 points per game as a top 250 recruit. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. We saw Anthony Holland have some moments over at Fresno State, and he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. He started this past year that shot 39% from three, but was only able to deliver 7 points per game. He did see his rebounds from right around 6.5 drop to more like 4.5. So I'm very fascinated to see where he goes, as he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. We're also going to be seeing in the transfer portal a pair of guys from Central Florida, as UCF is going to be losing both PJ Edwards and Tyrone Freeman. Freeman was able to supply the team with right around 3.3, 3.4 points per contest. Both of these were a little bit more of depth pieces at 6'5". Mr. Freeman was able to pop a few threes, but didn't necessarily shoot them well at 25%, was able to chip in there about an assist per contest. And then when it comes to PJ Edwards, just a guy that really could not get a lot of playing time whatsoever. And we are seeing some exoduses with regards to some of these schools as well, because I was talking about Lucen Holmes at South Carolina State entering into the transfer portal. Well, they're also going to be losing their top scorer in Raycom Gary. Gary last year was able to give the team about 11.8 points, shot 34.5% from three-point range, was able to supply a CO per contest. He is now out there in the transfer portal, so we shall see where he lands. DJ Turnout Burns, he's another guy that, much like with South Carolina State, because they underwent a coaching change in the offseason, you saw that with Murray State as well. These are guys that decided to stick it out and didn't necessarily have the world's greatest results. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. Burns was the top rebounder over at Murray State last year, as he was able to give the team 6.5 boards, 8.5 points per contest. Not a guy that was able to stretch a floor or anything like that, but certainly a nice low post player for this team. We did see a decision made as well in the transfer portal, as something that is going to be becoming a theme, as well as guys that are deciding to follow their former coach. We saw Justin Fernandez, who was playing at George Mason last season, decide that he is going to be following Kim English over to Providence. And now we've got another one, Josh Oduru, who led the team in a lot of categories with 15.5 points, 8 boards. He's 6'9 and is able to pop threes. Has never really popped them well. A career 24.8% 3-point shooter, but certainly a force for George Mason the last 2 years. He is going to be following his coach in Kim English over there at Providence, so that's certainly something that has to be top of mind. We did see Julian Roper. He was a part of Northwestern this last season. He has decided that he is going to be testing out the transfer portal waters, was able to average right around 4.5 points, 3.5 boards, and was a part-time starter last season. Shot 42% from three, but got injured when the team was able to make their run in the NCAA tournament this year, so we shall see where he ends up, along with someone like Hunter Dean. Lots of role players entered into the transfer portal over the last 24 or so hours. A starter for George Washington last year, right around 8.5 points, 6 boards. Not a guy with necessarily a lot of versatility, but certainly could be a solid big man for a team that might be looking for it. And then this is probably going to be an up transfer as well. Ryan Langbord, who he was a big part of what Princeton was able to do in the NCAA tournament this year. He was able to supply Princeton with 12.5 points per contest, and during the NCAA tournament, he, in two of the team's three games, had at least 22 points. So he was very prolific with that regard. And you take a look at him, really, since the middle of December, he was able to put up some of his best numbers of the year. Shot right around 35% from three with 13.5 points, right around 3 boards per contest over the final 21 games of the season. So he was able to show his worth there as well. Not a ton of coaching moves that happened in college basketball on Monday. I think that more and more are going to be happening as folks get out there to lovely Houston, because that's where a lot of meetings take place, and that's where a lot of coaches are able to get really, for lack of a better term, speed interviews with a lot of these teams. So I do think that we're going to be seeing a lot of coaching news that is going to be happening in future days, and I'm going to be rounding that all up on the podcast, not just this week, but moving forward as well. This is a 365-day-a-year podcast on Leap Year 366 because of all the player news that does happen with 363 D1 teams. It's not as easy as taking a look at a 30 or so team league in terms of getting prepared, so I'll be rolling through this all throughout the offseason, and I'm going to be taking a look at all the news and notes as we're sort of in transition with just 6 games remaining for the college basketball season, 3 in the NIT, 3 in the NCAA tournament, and then we're going to be turning it forward to getting set for what is going to be an amazing 2023-24 season. So that's what we all saw in college basketball Monday, and that's a little bit of what we could expect moving forward. And coming up next, we are going to be talking to Blake Lovely. He does amazing work over at Southeastern 14. We're going to be taking a look at the final four matchups, but we're also going to dive in a little bit on these NIT matchups as well. Have we been maybe underrating Conference USA a little bit too much? Is something else that I'm going to be diving into with Blake next, right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Houston Family Podcast.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
it. I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of it.
I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Here in Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the VEASAN family of podcasts. Always great to be joined by this man, as Blake Lovell does an amazing job over at a few different places. Obviously, you're able to catch him over at Southeastern 14, but on top of that, I know that he is doing a terrific job of taking a look at things with regards to Blue Ribbon Yearbook, which I'm sure that his workload is getting bigger and bigger as the days go along. The transfer portal, it is hot. It is heavy. We've got like 100 million billion guys that have already entered there. But I know that this man is also very concerned as to what we're going to be getting in the Final Four, taking a look at that front, as well as to be able to follow Blake Lovell. That is at the Blake Lovell. Last name is spelled L-O-V-E-L-L. And Blake, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yep, always enjoy it, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining me, Blake. And we've got the Final Four set. No seeds 1 through 3 make it. And we kept saying on this podcast that it was a wide open year, that anyone could be able to win this thing. And certainly that has rang true. And what do you make out of this Final Four? Because the one thing that does stand out to me is that there's one team that isn't necessarily so unexpected that did make the Final Four in UConn. And I really think at this point it is their tournament to lose.
Yeah, I agree with you, Greg. I mean, you know, obviously the way they played at this point, it's hard to just ignore the dominance, you know, of a team like this. And just again, think about not just how they've won games, but who they beat to get to this point. And I think it's certainly been a pretty impressive run but for the Huskies there. And yeah, I think they would have to be considered the favorite at this point. But, you know, we say that, right? And yet there are three other teams that no one really thought had a chance to get here, you know, in Miami, Florida Atlantic, and San Diego State. And so they'll probably welcome UConn being the favorite because they've had fun sort of playing the underdog role to this point. But obviously those three teams, I think, you know, one of the things they have in common is, you know, got some experienced players on the roster. And that is, you know, sort of been a theme, I think, as we talked about, just sort of the madness of this tournament, you know, and just kind of the direction college basketball is going in. It's just, look, the transfer portal, having that extra year, all those things can really just allow teams to get older. And I know some of the coaches have mentioned that. But still, you can also flip your entire roster in one offseason. You can have some guys come in that can be the difference, you know, in getting you in a deep run in the NCAA tournament. So it's a fun mix just to kind of see, again, the path that all four of these teams have taken to get here. It's just, it is such a fascinating storyline heading into it.
It is. And what I think has been really fascinating, not just about the NCAA tournament, but also just the entirety of the postseason, how dominant Conference USA has been. Because on Tuesday, we're going to be seeing a pair of Conference USA teams in the NIT Final Four all across the NCAA tournament, NIT, along with the CBI. There has been one loss across Conference USA teams. And how much do you think this is just the craziness of the tournament and also us just undermining Conference USA? Because the one thing that I think Conference USA does to prepare teams for a tournament setting is that out of all conferences, I feel like there's the most variety of styles in Conference USA. You've got the slow steam and all of college basketball, North Texas. UAB is figuratively and literally a bunch of blazers with how quickly they play. And honestly, I think that that's big when it comes to a tournament setting, because that sets teams up for expecting the unexpected. Whereas a conference like the Big Ten, where everyone plays the same way, when they step outside the conference, that can lead to some bad results.
Yep, I completely agree, Greg. Like you said, you've got two of the teams that I think you look at, with North Texas and Charlotte, teams like that, that just play at a much, you know, slower pace. Then you do have the UABs who can get them down the floor. I know FIU, we kind of know what to expect from them. We talked about them over the years. They're going to play at a fast tempo. And just so, yeah, you've got a lot of different teams, styles that they play. And like you said, I think you look at it, that's certainly a common theme. But I think, you know, something, Greg, too, worth pointing out is, like, you just look at the coaches in this conference now. And, you know, obviously you start at the top and what Dusty May has done to get Florida Atlantic to the Final Four. But, you know, you certainly look at just the possibilities just based on having an Andy Kennedy at UAB. And certainly he had success at Ole Miss, even though he eventually left there after 2018. I think whenever he stepped into this UAB job, people expected him to get them sort of this point where they're winning 25 plus games during a season. When you look at the coaching, that has been something too that I think has really stood out. You know, you can even look at what, I guess, when you look at Nick McDevitt and what he's done at Middle Tennessee, you know, that's a team that past couple of years, I think, won almost 20 plus wins the past couple of seasons, 26-11, I think, last season. But, you know, so you look at just those common denominators there. And like you said, the different playing styles, there's just so much there when you look at these teams. And of course, North Texas and what Grant McCaslin has done there. And it's just kind of a fun thing to look at. And, you know, this is one of those conferences, right, where I think, feel like the Mountain West is usually the conference that has gotten talked about a lot, certainly over the years, just based on their success. You know, certainly, Greg, I think the SoCon and such has had its moment in the spotlight before. But when you really look at Conference USA this season, there's no doubt when you look at those three teams, UAB, North Texas, Florida Atlantic, all having at least 28 wins. Pretty remarkable season there for those teams.
Yep, it certainly has been a remarkable season. And when it comes to what we're going to be seeing on Tuesday with the Conference USA teams, as Blake Lovell, it does a great job over at Southeastern 14, is joining me on the podcast, I think that there's a high likelihood that we see an all-Conference USA NIT final, because North Texas are going to be without Abdu Usman in that game against Wisconsin, but they're a very slight favorite. And I think North Texas honestly plays a better brand of basketball than Wisconsin, but a very similar style. They're going to have the best scorer out there on the floor in Tyler Perry in Wisconsin all year long, just has not been able to generate any offense. And then when it comes to UAB versus Utah Valley game, I really think that that's a marquee game of the night. But once again, the best player on the floor is going to belong to UAB and Jordan Jolly Walker, a top five scorer in all of college basketball.
I don't know what you're picking on this North Texas Wisconsin game in terms.
North Texas,
but I'm going to tell you, Greg, if you're looking for points, right, this is probably not the game that I think is necessarily going to get up there in terms of points. But I'm with you. I think I would lean toward North Texas. But like you said, you look at just sort of the differences there with those teams and certainly the similarities just in terms of style of play. But I honestly think, you know, right now I think that's the way I would lean, because I do think North Texas has an advantage over Wisconsin just based on what they've accomplished at this point. And then, of course, you know, UAB, talk about Walker and everything that he can do. It's just, you know, even for a long stretch of that Vanderbilt game, they struggled to kind of get going offensively, but they can just turn it on at any time. And I think that's what makes this UAB team so dangerous, is that you kind of know they can get those extra opportunities, good rebounding team. They just got a lot of things that I think that you really like heading into this. Of course, Utah Valley, a really good defensive team. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach that from that standpoint. But I think it'll be a lot of fun to sort of see if we can get that ultimate Conference USA championship game in the NIT. And hey, what if Florida Atlantic makes it to the championship game in the NCAA tournament? What a fascinating story that would be. One that, you know, just, again, to think that's what we're looking at is the possible setup here. Perhaps an all-NIT, you know, championship game with Conference USA teams, but also to possibly have another Conference USA team in the national championship game already in the Final Four, it would be something.
Yeah, that would be absolutely tremendous. And wouldn't it be something if we see Conference USA end the postseason with two losses across all of the tournaments? And that's only because both the CBI and the NIT had two Conference USA teams, so there's no way both teams would be able to win that respective tournament. That would be absolutely hilarious. As you're going to be on the podcast, we do have Blake Lovell. And when it comes to Conference USA, I think that Florida Atlantic has a chance to be able to make the national title game. Right now, as we take a look at things, San Diego State, a very slight favorite in most books. I'm seeing them as a 2-point favorite, and I favor Florida Atlantic a little bit in that Final Four game. I think that they've got really good versatility. San Diego State, they've got the most dominant core on the floor with their defense, but I like the way that Florida Atlantic is able to be a little bit of a chameleon, and it goes back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier. This Florida Atlantic team has seen some of the most up-tempo styles in the country. They've seen some of the slowest styles in the country. I think that that experience is going to bode very well for them against a San Diego State team that has been stifling on defense, but also held their opponents to shooting 5 of 44 from three the last two rounds, which I don't think is sustainable.
Yeah, well, that's obviously the difference, I think, when you look at this game, because we know kind of the distribution of points, 37% of Atlantic's points have come from, you know, the 3-point line. And I think just seeing what they can do against the San Diego State team that has defended so well, I mean, really throughout the season, but when you just look at what they've done in this tournament, you know, playing teams like Alabama and Creighton and so forth, they've just done a really good job doing that. And I'm just very curious to see for Florida Atlantic, knowing that that is where, you know, a large chunk of their points can come from. Can they get those same looks against San Diego State? Because it was obviously hard for the teams before them to do that. Again, when you can hold teams like Alabama to 64 points, Creighton to 56 points, and now can you do the same to this Florida Atlantic team that has gotten so hot? But you said something, Greg, that I think I've leaned in on with this team, even after probably that first game against Memphis. You know, when you're trying to find teams that you feel like can sort of make these runs and adapt to any sort of style, which you mentioned as well, the Conference USA aspect can help them. But they don't really have, I think, just any true, clear weaknesses. And I think you can say that about a lot of teams that have gotten to this point. I mean, even though the four teams that are here, I think you can certainly point out a lot of their strengths. But there may be a couple things here or there. Maybe not with UConn, with the way they're playing. But Florida Atlantic, I don't think, just has anything obvious just from a standpoint of, man, like they can get completely disrupted in that area. Like, I don't know that there's anything. I mean, outside of just probably just the overall size. I mean, for the most part, I think that this is a team that kind of has blended in to what it does best, and they're 35-3 because of it. I like their versatility as well, and I think they've got a real good shot here against the San Diego State team. But again, it's really going to depend on, can they get those same type of looks? But as we've seen too in some of these games, they've got guys that can also score the ball elsewhere. It doesn't necessarily have to just come from the 3-point line. So I think it makes for a really fun matchup between these two.
I think so as well. And then when it comes to that other Final Four matchup in UConn versus Miami, I respect everything that Miami has been able to do to be able to make the national semifinal, but I just think that they're completely outgunned in this spot. I'm sure that you were very intently looking at that UConn versus Arkansas game, and it looked like man among boys out there with UConn. They just completely plow you on the glass. I love what Notchad Omier is able to bring to the table for Miami. He could take darn near any low post player by himself in college basketball. The problem is UConn has much more than one low post player, and I think that that's ultimately going to be the difference, and I just don't see any team being able to knock off UConn. Out of the four teams remaining, I do think that Miami might honestly pose the biggest test to UConn, but I think UConn should be able to roll in this Final Four game, and whoever comes out, Florian Lank versus San Diego State, they should be able to take them apart as well.
Yeah, I look at this UConn team, and like you said, Greg, I think you could look at that Arkansas game, and look, at their worst, could I have seen Arkansas losing a game by 23 like that? Sure, I could, because we've seen kind of the inconsistency of Arkansas this season, you know, so that stood out. But then, could I have actually seen UConn do what they did to Gonzaga? No, like I don't think I could have seen that game play out the exact way that it did. Now, with all this momentum, I mean, I think even Dan Hurley said it, they look like the team they look like in November and December, because that's back when, you know, I can remember, especially after that game they beat Alabama, I said, I don't know who's number one in the country from a poll standpoint, but I can tell you right now, I haven't seen a better team than UConn, because that's when they were clicking. Obviously, got off to that 14-0 start, but really, over the past, what, basically almost 2 months now, they've now started to look like that team again. But this even feels like a different level, even than what they were back in November, which makes sense because they've evolved as a team. They hit that rough patch, but now they're pushing all the right buttons. They're doing everything right, and that has put them in this position. Like you said, nothing to take anything away from Miami, because I don't remember if we talked, Greg, before the tournament, but you know, I kept saying, I know a lot of people were loving sort of the Indiana-Drake combination, all of those, but like I said, I don't know about Miami's a team I feel like people are sleeping on heading into this tournament, because I know they played in the ACC, obviously a conference that not as strong as it's been over the years, but yet you could see some things with this Miami team and feel like if everything sort of broke their way, if they got hot offensively, we know how good they can be on that side of the floor, and that's what it's going to take against UConn. If you're going to be able to match what they can do, Miami's obviously going to have to find a way to consistently make shots. You know, scoring in the 80s again, I believe, will be tough, which, of course, they've done, what, scored at least 85, I think, the last three games. That feels like that's going to be a challenge against UConn, but this does feel like a game where points will be scored, Greg, but I always wonder about this, and I know you probably dive into this kind of stuff, but when you get these Final Four type games, you know, in these stadium settings where everything's a little bit different, I'm always kind of fascinated to see how teams sort of adapt early on to that. Sort of be curious to see, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how I could pick against UConn at this point.
Yeah, with UConn, it has been incredible to watch them. And other than that rough patch in January, I do feel like they have been the best team in all of college basketball. And you bring up something interesting about the ACC, because I know that there's been a big referendum on everyone saying, oh, the ACC wasn't so bad because they've got a Final Four team. And I guess you could say that about Conference USA and Mountain West. Take me through this, because I do think that taking a look at conferences based on the amount of Final Four teams that you have, it is unfair. Now, did the ACC receive a little bit more slander than it deserved? Probably, because Louisville just stunk, Georgia Tech just stunk, and that pulled down the metrics of the likes of Miami, the likes of Clemson. You're able to go down the list, but I don't think that we could have revisionist history here and be like, well, you know what? The ACC was really, really good. We just didn't give them credit until Miami made the Final Four, because other than the Big 12, there just frankly wasn't a good conference at all of college basketball. I feel very safe in saying that.
I'm with you, Greg, on this. Like, you can't just sort of look back at it and say, well, clearly the conference was better because one team made a run in the Final Four. It's my thing, right, when you have people, and I know it's not the same discussion, but when we talk about seeding and like, well, clearly this team was, you know, some people say, well, clearly this team was not seeded right. They should have been a higher seed just because they got hot and won a couple games. Well, that's not how it works, because we could say that right about Fairleigh Dickinson. Nothing to take away from what they did, but should they have been the one seed and Purdue been the 16? Like, you can't play that game necessarily. It just doesn't work that way. Watching basketball, as much basketball as we've watched over the years, you can understand, you can see when a league just does not match what it was in a certain year. And I think it was very clear that the ACC, yes, Miami made this great run. They beat some good teams to get here. There's no question about that. But it's still just one team. It's still just Miami that did that. All the other teams did not do that. And so I think when you look at it from that standpoint, it was clearly a conference that I think you could tell. It's been a conference in transition, I feel like, for a little while now. Now, obviously, North Carolina making the run they made last year, impressive. And there's no doubting that at all. And Miami's run, no doubting it. But the overall strength of the league, I think it's when you look down there and you kind of see some of those teams that are in the middle and especially near the bottom, right? We're not used to seeing a 4-28 ACC team, especially not Louisville. And then you look at some of the other programs that are clearly in transition at this point. So, yeah, you can't really just use that to justify the strength of a conference just because one team is able to make it. Because like you said too, Greg, you pointed this out earlier, sometimes it is, though, the teams that can adapt to a lot of different styles. And I think we've seen that from all four of these teams. Some conferences, like you mentioned, Conference USA has a little bit more of that than others. But, you know, you have to give Miami credit too. Sure, playing an ACC schedule helped them to an extent to get to this point, but I don't think it necessarily means that we are bumping up the ACC to the top of the college basketball conference power rankings.
And plus, if we do that, don't we have to bump up the Mountain West as well, Ed?
Yes.
Utah State loses the first round in the NCAA tournament. Boise State loses the first round of the NCAA tournament. Nevada loses the first four. San Jose State loses to Radford in the CBI. New Mexico get boat raced at home against Utah Valley. UNLV go completely down the toilet bowl in conference play. Fresno State went 11-20 within the conference. So, I mean, if we do it for the ACC, we then have to do it for the Mountain West, and I don't hear anyone banging on the drum to be able to do that either. So that is the point that I will make there. And, Blake, I know that you're covering so much with regards to college basketball, and we've only got a few games left here in this season. I know that you're doing a great job of covering these final few games, but I know you're already getting set for next year with what we're going to be seeing in the SEC. And I know you cover a wide variety of conference over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook as well. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yep, always appreciate it, Greg. Like you said, obviously a lot of SEC stuff we've done this season. We'll kind of do some postseason stuff, looking back at sort of the season for the league. And no, I don't have the SEC ranked at the top of the conference power rankings either, despite having the number one overall seed and many other teams in the tournament. As we know, they didn't get beyond the Sweet 16. But yeah, so you can check it all out, southeastern14.com. Find it there. If you're on YouTube, search for Southeastern 14. Lots of videos going up. You know, we had a lot through the tournament. We'll obviously have a lot more here looking kind of at the never-ending transfers that will be taking place. Missouri already picked up a big one, of course, today, and many others I know to come in the SEC. So you can check it all out there. And yeah, everything else college basketball related, you can follow me on Twitter at TheBlakeLevel.
Hey, speaking of the Mountain West, Shantone Jay heading over to Missouri. That is very nice to see a Colorado State team that didn't play a lot of defense, but Shantone Jay shot it well from three, so he will fit perfectly with that Dennis Gates style. So that is going to be a lot of fun to see. And Blake does a great job of covering college basketball over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook, over at Southeastern 14. And every single time he joins this podcast, lends great insights, much like he did today. Big thanks to Blake for joining me on Coast to Coast Superstar, part of the Beast and Family podcast. Coming up next, we've got a pair of NIT games for the College Basketball Tuesday. I'll give you guys picks and analysis on both of them as we hit some bank shots.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort.
With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Guard like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost to Ghost Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
It's always great to get Blake Lovell of Southeastern 14 aboard. He does amazing work. If you're looking to get set for next year as well at Blue Ribbon Yearbook, as I know that they're going to be very hard at work the next few months, the transfer portal, it is hot and heavy. We're seeing all sorts of coaching moves, and we're going to be seeing a lot of those throughout the week. The Final Four is really a melting pot for a lot of those discussions to happen between coaches that are looking for work and teams that are needing a coach. So it should be very fascinating to see what we get there. And Blake is one of the best in the business at taking a look at the great game of college basketball. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis for both NIT games for this College Basketball Tuesday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at GNR41. Very easy order today. We're going in time order. Wisconsin versus North Texas is first. Utah Valley versus UAB, that is second. So let's start out with Wisconsin versus North Texas. This is out in lovely Las Vegas at Orleans Arena. And this is a DK Nation pick, 661, 662. North Texas, in most places, a 1.5-point favorite. I saw a few straight ones out there, but mostly 1.5. Total on this game is 115.5. My write-up is going to be on North Texas. I set them as a 2.5-point favorite. Now, North Texas is most likely going to be without Abdul Usman. He is dealing with a family emergency. You wish your kid absolutely nothing but the best, but being who we are as betters, we move on without him. But even without Abdul Usman, I do think that North Texas is going to be just fine on the glass. They face off against a Wisconsin team that is 332nd in all of college basketball in offensive rebound rate. They get a offensive rebound on 20.3% of their possessions. Meanwhile, you've got a North Texas bunch that they are 39th among 363 D1 teams in road rebound rate, and they rebound 33% of their missed shots. That is 15th in all of college basketball. Usman, averaging about 11 points, 6 boards, 1.3 blocks per contest, leads the team in rebounds and blocks, but Moulay Sissoko, who was filling in for him in the game against Oklahoma State, because Usman has actually missed each of the last two, so this is not new for North Texas. Now he's averaging just 2.2 points, 2.1 boards per contest. He had 15 rebounds in that overtime win against Oklahoma State, so I don't think that there's too much of a drop-off there, and I think that he can do well down low going up against the likes of Tyler Wall along with Stephen Krall. Both of these guys give you between 6 and 6.5 rebounds per game. And then when it comes to the backcourt of Wisconsin, it certainly has been one that has taken care of the ball. They're actually number one in all of college basketball when it comes to turnovers on a per possession basis, yet they rank outside the top 225 in terms of points scored on a per possession basis. Wisconsin just has not been able to get a lot going with regards to their actual shooting. You've got Connor Season, Chucky Hepburn combining for 23.8 points per game. They combine to shoot about 37.5% from three, but Wisconsin in a road-slash-shoot-court environment, they only shoot right around 31.5% from three-point range, and North Texas is going to have the best score out there on the floor. That'd be Tyler Perry. You've seen him in Hollywood, now he's on the hardwood. 17.3 points, 2 assists, shoots 41.9% from three-point range. North Texas in a road-slash-shoot-court environment, they shoot more like 35.7% from three-point range, and you got a pair of teams that they just play super-duper slow. North Texas, they are dead last in the country in terms of possessions per game, playing a full possession per game slower than anyone else in the country. Wisconsin, they are right around 343rd in the country in terms of total possessions per game, but I mean, the North Texas defense is so much better. North Texas, one of the top teams of the country at being able to cut off the three-point arc. Wisconsin, they've been really having their struggles away from home. They need Max Kleizmit to step up. He shoots nearly 40% from 3.5 points per game, but I just don't know if that's going to be there for them. And on top of that, this is a physical North Texas team, and Wisconsin needs to hit their free throws. They are in the bottom 50 in all of college basketball in road free throw shooting percentage at 65.9%, and they've got just one guy that has attempted more than 10 free throws this year, shooting above 72% at the free throw line. So I do think that North Texas, with just their good collective defense, should be able to get it done. You've got a Wisconsin team that has scored 70 points or fewer in 19 out of their last 22 games, so it is a total that I'm going to be looking at the under on. I set my total at a 112, but the write-up here, despite the fact that Usman is out of the fold for North Texas, is them laying the very small number, currently seeing 1.5 across the board. Me, North Texas, a 2.5-point favorite, so my write-up is on the mean green, covering the spread and taking a look at the under, and then we go to 663, 664. Utah Valley and UAB do battle. UAB, pretty much a 3-point favorite across the board, open up more around a 1.5-point favorite, and Your total on this game, it is 151.5, and this is a total that I did set out to 151.5. So at current numbers, I'd be looking at a little bit of a line move. This opened up at a 152, and at that point, I would be taking a look at this total under. You got a UAB team that they look to run it and gun it. Really, both of these teams look to run it and gun it. I'll make an amendment there, because with Utah Valley, they're also a team that ranks in the top 50 in terms of total possessions per game. UAB is certainly the faster team in this circumstance. They are number 21 in the country in terms of total possessions per game, but both of these teams actually play some relatively solid defense. UAB is now a top 50 team in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, and they're going up against a Utah Valley bunch that actually has the number one against the spread record in all of college basketball, 24-9 against the spread, and so much of that has been because their defense has been so tremendous. They are 24th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, top 20 when they are away from home, but I do think the UAB counters everything that Utah Valley looks to do very well. You've got Aziz Bendogo down low for this Utah Valley bunch, 11.5 points, 10 boards, nearly 3 blocks per contest. Well, Trey Jemison on the other side for UAB, he is an absolute menace. 9.5 points, 8.5 boards, 1.8 blocks as a true 7-footer. Jordan Jelly Walker is one of the top scorers in all of college basketball, 4th in the country in terms of points per game, shooting 38.5% from 3-point range. He's registering 22.5 points per game, and when he's been out there, UAB has gotten to at least 74 points in all but 4 of the games that he has played this year. He was missing for a little bit of time earlier in the season due to an injury, which that did cause UAB to have their offensive numbers diminish a little bit in that time span, but whenever he's been out there, the team has been rock solid with that regard. And then you got Eric Gaines giving you 4.5 assists, shoots 34.5% from 3. The Brewer brothers are combining for about 14.5 points per contest, so they're able to do a nice job of being able to chip in. Meanwhile, for Utah Valley, you do have a nice big three with the team, and Justin Harmon, Latre Dothard, and Trey Woodbury, they all average between 13.7 and 13.9 points per game, so they're all very equal. Harmon, along with Woodbury, have been able to combine for 7.6 assists per game. Woodbury shoots 40% from 3. Harmon and Dothard, they combine to shoot about 35.5% from 3. They both give you about 1.3 steals per game, but you don't have quite as much depth with Utah Valley. Taj Small gives you about 5 points. He's solid off the bench as a nice little defender, but I do like the way that this UAB team has been able to ascend really on both sides of things. They have given up 60 points or fewer in each out of their last 3 games, so that has been very good for this team. You've got a Utah Valley bunch that they've been able to rise up with their offense. They have scored at least 72 points in each of their last 5 as well, so I do think that things are going to be cranked up tempo. These are 2 teams that they look to run and gun it, so I did set my total at 151.5. Like I said, on the opener of 152, that is my buy point. On the under, anything below 151 is a look at the over, so if you're looking to bet this right now, I would say wait until a little bit of line movement on the AM, and then with UAB, I just think that they're a little bit more of a well-rounded team and have the best player out there on the floor in Mr. Walker, so I did make them a 3.5 point favorite. Recognize Utah Valley has been really good against the spread, but I'm willing to lay up to 3 with UAB, and that will wrap things up. For the Tuesday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast, a big thanks to Blake Lovell over at Southeastern 14 for joining me in the last segment. If you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of 2 ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNNR41. Keep in mind, letter CM, naming does not matter. As per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way, that's find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Going to be coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season. That means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.